20th, 2021. Before we get started, I'd like to ask everyone to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right. I'll ask the city administrator, please call the roll.
Mayor Jim Still.
Here.
Council members Linda Dixon.
Here.
Lloyd Hendricks.
Here.
Scott Reed.
Here.
Mark Murphy.
Up here.
Carol.
I forgot you.
Carol Silver.
Present.
City attorney Brandon Bowen.
Here.
And myself, present, and deputy city clerk Jennifer Salicar.
All right, thank you. Next is the disposition of absences, which we have none, so the next item will be the financial report.
Ending balances as of November 30th in the general fund, $1,316,600.24. Enterprise fund, $516,556.73. Court fund, $30,522.80. Lake restoration fund, $267,857.79. SPLOST, $37,101.38. T-SPLOST, $441,127.42 for a total of $2,609,766.36. Performance for the month of November, revenues and enterprise fund, $22,525.03. Expenses, $26,438.47 for net deficit income of $3,913.44. Revenues in the general fund for the month of November, $20,852.17. Expenses, $36,815.90. And net deficit income, $15,963.73.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the council regular scheduled council meeting for November 22nd, 2021. Chair will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the city meeting minutes from November 22nd.
I have a motion by Councilman Murphy, second.
Second.
Councilman Hendricks got it first. All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you. We have an agenda. Chair will entertain a motion to adopt the agenda as written. Are there any amendments?
I have an amendment.
All right.
Okay, I would like to amend the agenda and add on 4 golf cart signs. I understand from a police friend of mine that we need signs since we do have golf carts running off
okay.
Through here.
So we're going to make this item number 7 under new business. It's golf cart signs. Anyone else? Chair will entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Got motion to amend. Who got the motion?
Oh my God.
That's good of you.
Y'all can call myself.
As
written.
I second.
Say, okay, thank you. We have all those in favor? All right.
We are all over.
We're getting as an octopus here.
Oh, an octopus is pretty boring.
That's true.
Yeah. And sentient.
Mayor's report. First off, we are waiting to hear from Beezer. They are going to try to go ahead and start the dredging of that cove over there next to the Overlook development. They are just working, trying to coordinate with the vendor that is going to do the dredging for them. So it's just a matter of whenever they can get that schedule worked out, they're going to let us know.
We ask they go ahead and try to get it done before, or start on before the end of the year. We're running out of time, so it may be after the first of the year. They're kind of at the mercy of the vendor, which is what happened in the first place. The first vendor's project ran long. They couldn't commit to it, so they had to go back and rebid the project. And they have another vendor that they said they're going to try to get it lined up between now and the end of the year. So I'll keep you posted on that. We talked about in the work session about maybe moving the January regular scheduled city council meeting from the 22nd to the 31st. There are a lot of things going on in January where some things that won't happen in a timely manner, plus some folks are going to be out the week of the 22nd. So I wanted to just ask council if they could agree that the 31st would be the regular scheduled meeting for January. Everyone okay with that? Do we need to vote on it, or is it just a consensus?
It's just a consensus.
All right, so we'll plan it for the 31st. Thank you. And last but not least, I want to say thank you to Karen Seegers for serving as the city administrator.
I'm still here for now.
I know, but if your daughter starts going into labor, you won't be.
That's true.
I'm going to tell you
that. That's
been
true.
Many, many years. Yeah. I think you came on 6 or 8 months after I got into office in 2008. And I've certainly been the beneficiary of your willingness to go to work for the city of Mountain Park. And I think we all have been.
It's been an adventure and a joy.
Yeah, it's been what?
An adventure and a joy.
And a joy. I just didn't enjoy it. It's been an adventure, but thank you. And I want to wish everyone a happy holidays for the remainder of this year and a happy new year next year. We look forward to seeing everyone back. So. Are there any council members that would like to report? Councilman, Reed, public safety officer.
I'd like to give the report for the public safety oversight committee. This is the December report. This is the final report. This is the final report as it relates to the very narrow focus of Mountain Park Volunteer Fire and Rescue. If please the council, I'll just go ahead and read it. Public Safety Oversight Committee was established in response to the agreement with Roswell to provide emergency fire and medical service. But thanks to both Councilperson Hendricks and Mountain Park resident Matt O'Shea for their current continuing efforts, we encourage City Council to re-sanction this committee at its next regular meeting on January 31st, I guess. As stated to City Council in its October report, the primary short-term mandate of the committee was to oversee whether or not the Mountain Park Volunteer Fire and Rescue could reconstitute. It is understood that should this committee continue with a new City Council on January 1st, 2022, that its complete and unwavering mandate must be to provide oversight and work with City Hall and recommend to City Council actions on all aspects of public safety, namely comprehensive emergency services, fire, medical, and policing contract. Policing services from a general perspective or traffic and other non-emergent issues, hazard mitigation planning, coordination of Federal Emergency Management Association, and continued qualification for the Hazard Mitigation Assistance Grant Program, animal control agreements, and costing. Moving on, NPBFR, the cost. In the October report and the update from the public hearing, this committee reported that should City Council choose to fund and sanction the reconstitution of NPBFR, annualized cost within 1 ± 10% would be $76,000 for the first year and $66,000 for year 2 and 3, inclusive of training costs. Building, while not tying the cost or reconstitution decision of NPBFR to the mold remediation of the building, the cleanup will allow NPBFR volunteers to begin the process of cleanup and minimal staffing in January. Volunteer levels are limited at this point. Even though NPBFR officially exists outside of the city's purview, its relationship and existence are highly dependent on the support and will of City Council. At this time, with 7 fully trained volunteers, NPBFR is on target to be staffing 1 to 2 days a week starting in mid-January. As they recruit more volunteers and train existing volunteers, they look to expand the number of days covered by 1 day every 3 or 4 months. However, it remains unclear how long it will take or if it is possible to staff a volunteer force that will provide sufficient coverage to allow for automatic and mutual aid agreements with the City of Roswell. Public hearing response. Most of the citizen feedback at the public hearing was in clarifying questions. However, I did receive feedback privately both for and against reestablishing the PBFR. Many desire to ensure simply that citizens were covered regardless of the service. For those against reestablishing the PBFR were along the lines that MPPFR failed to provide adequate coverage regularly. A valid concern, especially for several years before COVID-19 pandemic, a review of limited records on volunteer hours showed that most of the coverage was in the evening without consideration to training levels. Even then, only about 20% of the time was staffing level adequate to roll a truck with two volunteers. Others were concerned with having a volunteer force respond, especially to a catastrophic fire emergency, where volunteers may not be fully trained or, even if trained, lack the broader experience and knowledge of a firefighter who more frequently responds to fire emergencies. Those for MPPFR. Those who are for reestablishing MPPFR were along the lines that the loss of MPPFR in some way may increase the risk to our citizens and surrounding communities, especially in the form of slow response time, given that Roswell Fire Department would come from a further distance. A valid cause for concern. As we all know, time is of the essence in an emergency. While awaiting backup from surrounding cities through mutual aid agreements, a limited response is better than a delay and no response at all. The Roswell E911 Dispatch Center data clearly shows that 50% of all MPPFR calls are medical. Further, according to the Atlanta Regional Commission's 2021 Comprehensive Plan, the city has a significant aging population. 53% are in aging or age into 65 to 85 plus. With the loss of MPPFR, the potential for rapid access to first responder EMS service will be diminished. Options and opinions. Mountain Park would lose part of its unique character with the total loss of MPPFR. However, this committee and council must recognize that even though Mountain Park is considered a rural community, we are situated in the Metro Atlanta area. As such, our citizens expect a level of emergency services coverage equal to neighboring communities. Yet the existence and continued operation of MPPFR and similar emergency response coverage are not mutually exclusive. Key actions. With these critical factors in mind and feedback from citizens, the committee urges the following three actions. One, when the existing public safety service agreement between Roswell and the City of Mountain Park expires on January 31st, 2022, it is renewed to ensure continued emergency services. Two, City Council directs City Hall and Mayor's staff to re-enter negotiations with Roswell for more equitable terms with Roswell for services, given the number and types of calls. Moreover, the agreement should also include all kinds of calls appropriate to the Roswell Fire Department to respond and triggers within the contract should Roswell desire to re-enter an automatic and mutual aid agreement should MPPFR be set up. And number three, make a definitive decision in the first quarter of 2020 on whether to fund MPPFR and if they desire MPPFR to continue operations in what capacity. To fund in what capacity?
2022.
Sorry, did I say?
Sound like you said 2020, whether it be in the chair.
My bad. MPPFR options. The committee presents the following three options to the council and strongly urges the council to consider having MPPFR in a reduced capacity. The third option presented in this report. This third option may allow Mountain Park to enter into a partnership agreement with Roswell Fire Department, strengthening Mountain Park's relationship with the City of Roswell. Moreover, it demonstrates a desire of the City Council to seek a solution that serves and addresses the concerns of all citizens of Mountain Park, both for and against. Option one, fund MPPFR fully to provide both fire and medical services. The cost of this has been previously noted. The long pole in the tent is how fast the volunteer force is established and to what level Roswell would need to agree and to reestablish a mutual aid agreement. Option two, cease all funding and express the desire to eliminate MPPFR permanently. This option requires Mountain Park to rely upon our immediate neighbor Roswell for services fully. Costs and services provided are at the discretion of Roswell, with little or no control outside of regular contractual agreements over how emergency services are rendered in Mountain Park. Option three, MPPFR exists in the reduced capacity of just EMT service. With 50% plus of calls both inside and outside of Mountain Park, and another 35% for good cause, the vast majority of the emergency response calls would not be catastrophic fire related. This path allows for a reduced amount of training needed for volunteers, and it is also easier to obtain training classes for volunteers. There is also a reduced cost of equipment required to be required to purchase and maintain. This option also requires an Park to keep an agreement with Roswell for Fire Emergency Services. Finally, this option may open the path to a more significant partnership with the City of Roswell and even greater access to grant funding. Partnerships. Roswell Fire Department has publicly expressed a desire to establish a presence on Mountain Park Road to serve Roswell citizens in the area better. So what could a partnership look like with Roswell? Roswell Fire Department could partially or fully staff and augment the volunteer staffing to provide the emergency medical response. In this partnership, Mountain Park would maintain all vehicle and equipment at an agreed upon level, while Roswell would provide paid part-time staffing. Incrementally, this partnership could serve as a training ground for Roswell Fire Department staff. Roswell only employs trained personnel for Roswell Fire Department. Roswell could agree to a part-time employment through a partnership once volunteers are trained. Mountain Park would reimburse training costs for volunteers on a prorated basis on volunteer service hours. And finally, Mountain Park will be better positioned to apply for federal, state, and foundation grants based on the number of calls, size, and department and services offered. Should a partnership be better?
Okay. Thank you, Councilman. So it sounds like you guys have done a thorough job of looking at the situation from many different angles. I guess at this point in time, is this council ready to make a determination going forward, or should we be postponing this until the new council is seated?
I think his recommendation was to wait until we renegotiate with Roswell.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that hopefully we'll have the opportunity to do that early in the first quarter.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, to be specific to Councilman Murphy's, definitely re-engage the agreement, enter into negotiations, but in the first quarter, council should come to a decision on the path they want to move forward so that there's no more ambiguity.
Right, and I think that's only fair.
Yeah.
All right, any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I'll just say it sounds like the new mayor is exactly what we wanted. Sounds like we're going to get a lot of help from off the fire. And as I will not be on council to see it, I can't wait to see action taken next year. And I feel like Mountain Park Volunteer Fire will make it.
Well, we're certainly
feel like that.
We're certainly more optimistic than we have been.
Yeah, this is great. This is really great.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Councilman.
Yes, thank you, Scott. Yes,
and the committee, Councilman Hendricks,
Councilman Hanlon, and your Bob Humble guy.
Yes. And the citizens, Matt O'Shea and the other citizens of Burbank. So. All right. Any other reports?
Yes, I've solved the communication problem with Mr. Cloud, or that I had the wrong phone number, and he is willing to engage to help us set up a better teleconferencing Zoom system. It is going to require probably some procedural changes because somebody's going to need to actuate the call and move the camera around, but my thoughts are it can all be done from a computer screen.
Yes.
So, but we're going to begin work on that.
Wonderful.
Evaluating the most cost-effective way to do it.
All right. Look forward to hearing what you guys come up with. All right. At this point, I want to state that the city attorney has provided an opinion letter for what the process would look like for dissolving the charter. I don't think we need to get into any discussion or debate tonight, but in a nutshell, I'm going to ask you to kind of give us a brief, just at the high points of what this basically would mean, and then we'll have it if we ever find ourselves in a situation where we need to revisit it, which currently I don't feel like we're there, so we just want to know we have it and what are the basic high points.
So the 30,000 foot view is that there are a couple statutes that deal with the dissolution of cities and the city's charter. However, they deal with situations with cities that are not active, where there are no elected officials, where we're not providing services. In other words, they don't describe Mountain Park. They don't apply to Mountain Park. That doesn't mean Mountain Park can't be terminated as a city, but it does mean that if that were to happen, it would be the result of a local act of the legislature. And I can only imagine that if the local legislature or if our local representatives chose to do that, you know, they would do it in cooperation with both Fulton and Cherokee County and likely Roswell as well to make sure that the folks that live here are provided for in that dissolution. One of the things that, or some of the things that would have to be dealt with is, you know, the assets of the city, both the financial assets that Karen just talked about a minute ago, as well as the real property assets such as this building and the parks and the lakes and things of that nature, and also the providing of service and utilities. If another government was going to take over maintaining our roads and things of that nature, you know, they would certainly want to make sure they were being compensated for doing so, I'm sure. So obviously that would end all local regulation of development or whatnot also. So that would be enough 30,000 foot view.
Yeah, it would end all self-determination. It would be in the hands of another, whatever the other government entity is. So thank you. So we've got this information, and we know if it ever felt like that there was a need to revisit, then we'll pull it out. Yes, sir.
Clarifying terminology. Local legislation, you mean?
State.
State.
House and Senate.
General House and Senate, yeah. General
just making sure.
Yeah. Gold on. Yeah. Anyone else? All right. Moving on, the first item on the unfinished business is consideration of process as recommended and researched by city attorney for the sales. Oh, thank you. I missed that.
Do my job. Yes. For the time.
City Hall report.
Well, since it's only been 3 weeks since the last meeting, I really don't have a lot, except that the mold remediation in the fire department has been taken care of. And thank you, huge thank you to Councilman Hendricks for overseeing the whole process.
So. All right. Very good. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. First item under unfinished business is the process and recommended and research by the city attorney as for the sale of city properties. I will yield the floor to you.
Okay. So there are a couple of different ways that local governments can dispense with real property. As I understand it, the circumstances we're looking at are generally in regards to roads that were never opened and maintained by the city. There is a specific statute that allows local governments to dispense with those pieces of land that are too narrow to be used for anything else and aren't going to be used as a road in the future. And basically, we can, by ordinance, agree to give those properties to the adjoining landowners. Normally, when you're dispensing with local government property, you have to have a bid process, a public bid process, sealed bids, things of that nature. In the case of unusable strips, we don't have to go through that process. We could just give to surrounding property owners to make their properties a little bit bigger. And I would recommend that for properties that you wish to do that you identify, you know, that we talk to the property owners and work out the terms of that on an individual basis. But I do think, you know, we'll need to cover the cost of getting surveys probably for those properties, you know, to establish where the new lines are going to be. And then if the council wishes to establish a valuation for that, I'm not sure how we could do that. I guess we could get an appraiser to do it and come up with a per square foot value of property.
All right, would this satisfy the situation on Cedar Street?
It will.
Okay.
Now, I don't want anybody to get confused with the sale of city lots. That was tabled for 90 days at the recommendation of Councilman Reed so that council could determine what lots were buildable, unbuildable, and green space. So I don't want anybody to get confused.
Yeah, right. I don't know that this method would apply to lots.
I just didn't want anybody to get confused.
No, we're referring to the little strip of land that has become an island on Cedar Street, and there are two property owners that are directly affected.
Two.
And so I think, if I understand you correctly, because it is a little unusable piece of property, we would simply get with the two property owners, and the lines would be redrawn to incorporate that into their property.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions about that?
I don't know why I'm thinking this, but would the city benefit at all from donating land like this? They would have to...
Donate it to the property owners?
If you're gonna be donating land, I wondered if the city could profit in any way from donating land, taxes or whatever. Just a thought.
Taxable anything, yeah, I was gonna say, we...
Just a thought, we could benefit it in, we could benefit in any way.
I can't think of any way.
Yeah, the only way I could...
We don't have to maintain it anymore.
That's true.
Never would.
You could sell it to the people who are acquiring it, but I don't know that, you know, we're talking about very tiny strips of land, so I'm not sure they'd be willing to pay.
I was just curious, yeah.
That's a fair question. Anyone else? Do we need a resolution or a motion to start the process for this?
We'll need an ordinance to do these. I don't know if we're far enough along. Other than on Cedar Street, you know, I think we could discuss that, since we've got, you know, a survey that shows, you know, since we've got a survey, I think the council could approve preparing an agreement with those property owners for you to sign if they are all agreeing with it.
So this would be a motion to authorize City Hall and the mayor to establish an agreement with the adjacent property owners for the acquisition of these properties, and this would be Taylor and Lovett, is that correct?
Lovett, but wouldn't that be...
Lovett.
Oh, it is, okay. Wouldn't it be more of an agreement drawn up by the city attorney?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because you said City Hall and...
Well, yeah, you're right. So it would need to be the city attorney would have to, you know...
Okay.
All right, so Chair will entertain a motion to allow the city attorney to craft an agreement between the adjacent property owners for the acquirement of these properties.
I will make a motion to allow the city attorney to craft an agreement to...
And I will second.
To incorporate it, okay.
To dispose of these properties.
All right, we have a motion, have a second. All those in favor? It is unanimous, thank you.
Now, last night, I have to get everything out of the can.
Then once you get that, you'll just shoot us a couple and discuss it again, okay? Motion by Silver, second by Dixon. All right. Second item is consideration of a solution for the 220 Sourwood Trail as recommended by the city attorney. This is a little bit different situation. You want to take that?
Yeah, so this is a situation where we've got a property owner who owns a few lots that are not directly fronting on a city street. They do directly front on a street that is shown on the city's plat. It's just never been,
should be there.
It's never been opened up. So the recommendation I have is that we grant an easement to this property owner to be able to use that unopened street. It's Sourwood Trail, I think is its common name, although the plat is listed as part of Juniper Street, and that would give them the right to, you know, use that to construct a drive, put utilities in, whatever they can do. At the same time, the city will keep the roads. In the future, if the city wanted to actually put a drive or put a road in and connect up, it's still on the right to do that.
Okay. Are there any limitations to what can be done there?
It's an access easement, so that allows you to, you know, put a drive in, put utilities in, but that's it.
Okay. Any questions? No one? All right. So we have a copy of the easement here.
I'm not sure if the property owner has seen this yet, so
okay.
They may want to review it. You know, I think the council could approve your signing it there.
If the property owner is there. So that's the motion, authorize the mayor to approve the easement if the property owner is in agreement.
I can make a motion, I said.
What I said, okay.
Okay, so who could...
All right, Councilman Reed and Councilperson Dixon. All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. Item number three, we've already discussed. It was a review of the final report from the Public Safety Committee. Unless someone has any questions, we will move on to the new business. First item under new business is...
Did we miss the license agreement for Ryland for...
Well, that's already been approved. It was just a corrected copy I somehow got in there. I'll forward to Robin in the morning.
Yeah. All right. Item number one under new business is the consideration of council to, by resolution, sanction the Citizens Grant Research Committee.
Is this for me?
Yeah, I was memorializing everything that we said last week.
Okay. So...
No, sir.
Which one?
No. Your words.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to make a motion for council to sanction a Citizen Grant and Research Committee that would like to, really, four committees or more, starting with four, in areas that we would like to pursue and would like approval of the council to proceed. I do have a list here of grant committees: public safety oversight, lake and stormwater, building zoning, planning and infrastructure, which would include upgrading our technology, community and recreation, finance. It's open-ended, but we need...
So basically, grant research committees as needed.
Correct.
Okay. Can we make that the motion? Yeah, I would say that, you know, to sanction grant research committees as needed.
I'd like to make a motion, yeah, for council to sanction grant research committees.
All right, I have a motion, I have a second. Second by Councilman Murphy. Discussion. So these would be committees that would form for the purpose of researching grants for these, any one of the different committee titles.
Which we are currently have undergone training and meeting with Cisco, who has been extremely helpful in showing us what's out there.
To be specific, the grants committee would form working groups that would work with the associated city committees.
Okay.
For specific grants that would be researching, but they would report, those working committees would report to the those working groups would report to the committee.
To the grant committee?
Right.
Okay. Any questions? All those in favor, designate by a show of hands. In addition, unanimous. Thank you. Discussion of replacing the 2-inch water main with a 6-inch installation on Cardinal Drive. Councilman Hendricks, you have the floor.
Make a motion that we accept our DNS bid of $55,082.75 to replace the 2-inch water main with a 6-inch main as far as needed going up Cardinal Drive.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second.
Second
by Councilman Reed. Discussion.
So when...
Hang on, let's hold. Wait. All right, we'll start with Councilman Reed. Let's go this way. Thank you.
At the working session, we discussed potentially getting incremental bids for the $51,000. To be clear, I mean, I'm for, we could just get it done, but I think, you know, there's always just this number thrown out by Ardito, and I think even though they're our preferred vendor, we should look at getting it bidded out. Anyway, this comes out of the enterprise fund, it doesn't necessarily affect taxes or anything like that, but still we should do our due diligence on it. Though having said that, we've prepared it, what, twice in the last 9 years, is that what I heard?
Yep.
To the tune of about
Scott.
$60,000. Sorry. Okay. I can hear myself. We prepared it twice in the last 9 years, to the tune of $62,000 total. So now, you know, if we had just fixed it right in the first place,
yeah.
It'd be cheaper even in today's dollars. So.
Yeah. All right, Councilman Murphy.
No, it's my point. Just
okay.
That we bid it out.
Councilman Dixon. Councilperson Dixon.
I'd like to see it bid it out.
Okay. Councilperson Hendricks.
We've bid it out twice. Both times we've bid it out, Ardito's the only one that has replied.
Is that true? Is that the case?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, he would know, yeah.
Based on the records I was able to come up with,
right.
He's the only one that has bid this job. Nobody else.
Well, that was 06, though, right?
No. The last time was 15.
Yeah, but that was back 15. I still think it should be bidded out. I'm with Mark on this.
All right. Councilperson Silverhead, her end up first.
I am interested, if we do choose to do this, although I'd like to see it bitted out as well, I would like us to pursue some type of recompense when the Build Back Better Act does pass the infrastructure bill, which is an imminent thing, that we do get recompense for this. Whatever we choose to spend.
Even though I imagine.
Okay. The point is that that's, yeah, that's not the motion on the table, but it is noted. Okay. Anyone else?
Just a quick question to Karen. What is the city procurement process for this? I mean, if we wanted to.
Bid it out, you mean?
This dollar amount?
I mean, if we wanted to, could we award this contract as it is now?
You could, because he has been your contractor for years and years and years. Now, with regard to the bid process, I'm going to have to write an RFP, which means I'm going to have to look at his most recent estimate. And in layman's terms, and everything that I know, write an RFP and hopefully get something where we can compare apples to apples without having to engage in an engineer to write an RFP. I don't guarantee, based on that we get apples to apples. We might come close. I probably won't be here to see it through, but I can at least, if that's what you want to do, get it started and go from there.
All right. Any more questions? The motion on the floor is to approve the $55,000 and some odd change that Ardito has quoted. All those in favor?
What? Approve it.
That's the motion.
That's the motion.
That's the motion.
You'd have to vote up or down.
Okay, all right.
Any opposed? And we have 1-4-4 against. The motion does not carry.
Can I make a statement?
Yes. I'm sorry. Did I have?
For people that live on Cardinal Drive, and this is my, it's not from him, it's from me. Would you stand in your kitchen looking at a fire hydrant that could not put out your fire in your house? Everybody over here has got the line. Your houses will have pressure. Cardinal Drive will not have pressure to put my house or anyone else's house on Cardinal Drive out.
Well, it needs to be repaired. We know that. We're just hoping not to have to pay.
But you keep dragging your feet.
Okay.
We won't.
No, I don't think we will. But I do
at
see
this point, what thank you.
I'm sad.
At this point, we basically, or the council has voted down the approval of this quote, this estimate. What is the will of the council at this point? What do you want to do? Chair will entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we pursue an RSP to get different quotes on doing this job.
Motion by Councilperson Silver to bid it out for an RFP. Do I have a second? Second by Councilperson Murphy. Discussion?
Question?
Yes, sir.
What's the timeline in RFP? Is it 90 days?
It's 30 days once I get it advertised and live. But just getting an advertisement takes about 10 days because of the timing issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to go out of town until the first of the year, so I won't be able to start work on the RFP till after the first of January. So realistically, you're looking at having bids to look at your March meeting.
This is below the state level, requiring state procedures, so we can accelerate that if we can get folks to bid on it.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
What's the time frame on, if Ardito did the repair, what's the begin and end time? Is there any timeliness on it?
We don't know.
Because lots of projects out there, just like the Cove, digging out.
Yeah.
Might be the same thing.
Yeah. Councilman Reed.
Can I amend the motion at a time frame on it?
Yes. A motion. How do we do that?
Who made the motion?
Councilperson Silver. What would be your amendment?
That decision and work to begin by no later than April 1st.
Would you agree to that?
I would agree to
that. So agree to the amendment. Would you agree to the second on the amendment? You.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so the motion has been amended and seconded to include a deadline of April 1st.
Yes.
For the work to commence?
Yes.
That's pushing it.
Okay.
We'll see. All those in favor?
Y'all can make it happen.
Any opposed? All right, so it's 3-4-2 against. It does pass with the deadline.
I'm sorry, what was the vote?
3-4-2 against.
And who were the two against?
Hendricks and Dixon.
Okay. Gotcha.
So what happens if you can't get it by April? Do you go back to Ardita?
That's what it looks like.
Just with the medication there?
Same thing.
All right.
So we waste 4 months?
Brandon, I'll need to get with you on that process.
All right, next item number 3 is the engaging of GMI's IT in a box for internet and IT consideration services. Thank you, I couldn't think of the word for City Hall. Who wants this one? Who was doing this one?
Scott, did you get a chance to ask any questions?
Didn't get a chance to ask any questions. Because it's only been a couple of days, but I mean, I haven't had a list of 50 questions. Literally,
yeah.
A list of 50 questions.
Let me ask City Hall. Karen, did Bill give us a drop dead date?
No, we did not. However, I will say that even if you were to approve the agreement tonight, it'll be March before it launches. So it's not an overnight process.
If we agreed to the process today, could we withdraw if the answers are not satisfactory between now and March? Or do we have to sign an agreement?
We would need to go ahead and sign an agreement. But if council's not comfortable, I mean, 30 days is 30 days. So it, you know, would push the launch date to April. I feel like perhaps Bill would hang on if, as long as he knows that there's something in the works. But just let me say that I got an email bounced back today from a Gmail account. And I understand, I'm sorry I missed Wednesday night, I understand there was discussion about the actual cost we've paid out for IT support. And it's been nominal, but when you consider the costs of downtime and the inability of City Hall to be able to communicate with its citizens, I just think that you can't put a price on that, and I find that it's extremely frustrating for staff, and it's got to be extremely frustrating for the citizens not to have that communication. And I understand that, you know, City Hall's taken a huge hit during the election process and communication, and I feel like we're beyond the point in time when we can rely on a citizen to help us do these things. And if you want a professional government, then you need to invest in professional services. That's my story.
All right, Councilperson Reed.
To be very clear, I am.
I'm low.
I completely agree with what you're doing here. My biggest concern is, as I look through this and knowing how I've literally gone through the process for my companies, there are significant things lacking in this. And the price, I can get you twice as much, if not more, for the same price. So I 100% agree you need it. I'm not sure that this proposal is, number one, adequate, and number two, cost-effective for what you're getting.
Okay.
Do you think it's possible that we could... Is it going to just push it out 30 days to April?
It won't matter for 30 days, but I have three things. I had to say something because this may be my final opportunity to say something, right?
All right.
The second thing is we also may be eligible for a 25% grant through GMA because we currently have our property and liability coverage with them. I reached out to an individual today, Darren Jenkins, just to make sure that that's the case. I have seen that before, and I believe that will be the case. So that's a significant benefit right there. Additionally, the city of Waleska, whom we network with and I consider to be closely in size and budget in Cherokee County, they use GMA, the IT in a box, and they have, I think, probably the same number of employees that City Hall does that we do. And they're thrilled with the service. That's just my little take.
Right.
And I think that the gold package, you know, it includes a redesign of the website maintenance and hosting, the on-site 24/7 support, so that if somebody has an issue with their computer, they will actually physically come here instead of over the phone. And it also includes recommendation for future software upgrades, updates, recommendations. I just think it's a good service, but 30 days isn't going to hurt anybody, so.
If a council agrees to go forward with this, would we have the ability to negotiate some of the questions and concerns that Councilman Reed has mentioned?
Honestly, I wouldn't vote on something that you're not comfortable with. Okay. Table it for 30 days, make sure he's comfortable and shares the information that he gathers with council, particularly incoming council, so that they're comfortable with it. I wouldn't want anybody to vote on something they're not comfortable with.
Okay. Yes, Councilman?
My concern with this is that at 36 months, well, first of all, I totally agree, we need professional IT services. No argument whatsoever. My concern is the 36-month agreement, which is worth over $60,000, and I think it should be bid out.
Bid, yeah.
I think we should have multiple people bid on this.
Oh, you're saying RFP?
Right, because I think it fits the financial hurdle. Although I think.
Mark, my question is, does any of this overlap with your conversation with Ron Cloud?
No, because it's all about.
It's all different?
Yeah. Yes. There is a server-based, email-based.
Right.
Website-based.
And retention and archival.
Right.
It's automatic with them. They automatically follow our retention schedule so that everything is saved according to the retention schedule.
Right. So Ron, what is Ron? What is he doing?
He would help
live streaming.
This so we could do Zoom.
Live streaming of the meetings.
Okay, somehow I had those. Okay.
Councilman Marie,
thank
question.
You.
Do you feel like, based on the recent experience you've had going through this process, there is a competitive vendor out there?
I can list three off the top of my head.
Okay. How long would it take us to do an RFP for this? another 30 days?
I could get it done before I leave. I mean, you know.
Well, can you get her started? I mean, the fact that
she can't do an RFP yet.
Okay.
But if I can get her at my desk or at my...
We need to do all the RFPs you can for you. Sounds like you're our last best hope here.
You can cancel the holiday.
Yeah. Can I make a recommendation? Let me get with Christine.
Christina.
Christina to go through what she has here.
Okay.
Right. To go through my list to see if this is adequate. I think, Council Morgan, I think the number that you're quoting is a bit high from what it was, but I'll double check.
At 3 years.
It's yeah.
36 months agreement.
Well, it was 16,000. Came out about 16,000
a year.
Yeah.
All right.
But if it's not, then I will help you write the RFP.
Perfect.
Okay.
Sound like a good deal?
So.
All right, the motion to table us for 30 days, is that, do we do that? Or?
Yes, you need
motion to. Motion table for 30 days. Anyone?
No.
We need a motion to table.
Motion to table for 30 days.
All right, motion by Councilman Reed, second by Councilman Hendricks. Yes. All those in favor? All right, it's unanimous. Thank you. Next item is the consideration of the designation of the Elmink project for 2022. We've got a list.
No, we don't have a list.
Has the list been done?
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
Up until last week, we weren't even eligible to make application. So now we're eligible. I think the deadline is February the 22nd. And we need to have a project. I will say that Chestnut Street Extension had been approved last year. You might recall Mr. Sutton calling, attending the meeting and asking, and you guys approved it. However, we weren't eligible, so application was not approved. And this year, we could make that application for that particular project. However, in light of what's going on over at Laurel Street, you may wish to redirect the funding for this year's LMIG application and divert that funding from Chestnut Street to the concrete apron on Laurel to finally take care of the runoff. Otherwise, you're going to end up grading, regrading, more gravel every year. It's just a consideration. I thought I just would throw it out there. But council, that's obviously a council decision. If you choose not to redirect that funding, then the application will be the Chestnut project because that's the last approval that I have of council.
That's the one I was talking about.
Okay.
I mean, we had one out there somewhere. So basically what the city administrator is saying is that we can redirect those funds to eliminate the issue that we're having at the end of Laurel Street with the runoff, and then we can get a Chestnut.
For next year.
For next year.
There's nothing, I'm sure Mr. Sutton might not like it, but there's actually nothing going on beyond where Chestnut ends currently right now.
And this was an extension of Chestnut.
And well, it is, but there's nothing there to right. extend it right. to right now. I understand his family wants to build up there one day, but I'm just saying that the need's not tomorrow.
So what we need is a motion to establish the end of Laurel Street, that concrete apron, as the first priority for the Elmer project. Right.
If that's the will of council.
If that's what council is saying.
I make a motion to use the Laurel Street project for the Elmwood project for 2022.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. Second for Councilperson Silver. So basically what this does is just kind of puts Chestnut on hold for one.
Rolls it over one year.
Okay. Any questions?
Well, I haven't seen the apron that supposedly going in on Laurel.
It's not there.
I mean, a picture of it, or is there a drawing or anything been done?
No, there was a quote, and then Dana Johnson with ISE also stated that that would be a permanent resolution.
Right, so nothing's for the runoff. Been drawn up?
Nothing's been drawn up by an engineer, no.
All right, question.
I just want to point out that we have drainage issues with every street in Mountain Park. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's how do you eat an elephant? Yeah. Just got to decide when you start with the trunk or the tail.
Correct.
One apron at a time.
One apron at a time, yeah. All right, any other questions?
Just in case anyone gets that.
All right, all those in favor, please designate by a show of hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. So we'll go ahead and get that teed up for the next project. All right. New Leaf Arbor estimate to remove 5 trees in the amount of $2,300. This was yours.
I make a motion to approve the New Leaf Arbor estimate to remove the trees in the amount of $2,300.
All right. Second by Councilperson Dixon. These are trees that are threatening. They're around this building here and everything.
There are two at the end of Spruce and an island that are threatening and actually eroding away at the road. And then there are three alongside the back of
looming over the
community building that need to come down.
Any questions? All those in favor, designate by a show of hands, and it is unanimous. Thank you. When can they start on that?
I'll get with Sean.
Okay.
Haven't they already done Spruce Street?
No.
There's a bunch of trees in the in the parking lot.
What's the mystery on that?
That's Mr. Safford's property. Are they still there?
I haven't been by there.
We know who took them down. Our intention is to call them and ask them. It appears as though they left the wood only, so they chipped the branches.
It was neatly stacked.
It appears as though somebody's coming back after it, but if they don't plan to come back after it, then they're going to be cited for littering.
We will hunt them down.
Hunt them down.
Next item on the agenda is consideration of a leak adjustment for Minden at 140 Cardinal Drive. Mr. Minden stated that he had a leak or a loss of large volume of water. What was the I can't find the
29,790 gallons.
Yes. Okay.
So I think we billed him $634.18, and his calculation, whoever calculated this, at the wholesale cost was $88.86, so the request is to adjust his bill to the wholesale rate. Am I following? Sorry.
Yes, but here's the question. What happened? We never had a definitive answer for what happened. I've had a couple of questions from some council members about, is there a, because in the leak adjustment process, it depends on whether this was a leak in a toilet which went through the sewer system, or whether this was a leak by a garden hose outside and it did not go through the sewer system. So we need some clarification.
As best we can tell, it was the outside faucet that was being used to pressure wash the house before the pressure washer caught on fire. And in the melee that ensued, somehow that faucet was left on for some period of time.
Okay. So it was an outside faucet.
Yeah, there are no leaking toilets. As soon as we became aware of the problem, when Jennifer called, we immediately, there was no leak at that point.
Okay. Does that hopefully clarifies for anyone that was not, that wanted to have a definitive on the actual cause?
I am looking at the leak adjustment policy, and in the interest of transparency, number 6, part A, says that we should be provided with some sort of evidence of repair. That's my greatest concern, is what happened and was it repaired?
Yes, well, we weren't prepared to call a plumber. Had we been able to identify something that needed repair, we were prepared to call a leak adjustment, you know, a leak identification firm. We've done that on prior occasions, but there was nothing to repair.
It's not a faulty pipe.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah,
this
wasn't
may, this pipe. Comes, looks more like section number 9. Mm-hmm. It's not obligated, but it can, you know, consider on an individual basis outside faucets that have not turned off properly, leaking hose pipes, leaking toilets that have not been turned off or not repaired, irrigation system leaks due to damage, sprinkler heads, etc.
I believe Jennifer would like to speak.
Yes, so if there is a specified cause that he is stating, we can make the leak adjustment. The water would not be adjusted because the water was used, but what we could adjust is the sewer, because there was no water that went to the sewer.
Right. So you're saying that because there was no water that went through the sewer, the adjustment
would
be made to that?
Yeah, he completes the leak adjustment stating that this is what occurred.
Okay.
We can complete a leak adjustment for the sewer.
Is this a standard procedure policy, or does this require a vote of council?
That would be standard.
Well, I don't think that's correct, because we've had, you know, we've broken water lines between the meter and the house before, and they've adjusted the water to the average usage. And in the so I know that has been
for a broken water line.
For a broken water line, which is not unlike a faucet, which is left. I mean, the household usage was equal to the average household usage in that home for that month. There was they did not have additional guests. They did not have, you know, their household usage was about 5,041 gallons,
okay,
which is the average usage.
Right. But you're saying that in the past, the broken water line was approximately the same thing as the faucet being left.
Yeah,
is that?
Yeah.
And that is,
Go ahead.
Yeah, that is considered repair, and that is a different type of adjustment. Because it was, you know, it wasn't something that they were doing or work that they were completing potentially that had caused the issue. Like, that was a pressure washing issue that, you know, used the excess water, rather than a pipe bursting.
So it's not like a mechanical failure.
Correct. And there was not a repair that, yeah. The water was, yeah.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
Does the city have a percentage they pay for something like this? Percentage of the bill, the water that was used?
For water?
Like 10% or?
No, it's calculated by the average, and then you take that amount over the average and charge it at the lowest rate.
So that's the standard process.
Mm-hmm.
And that still equates to the...
That's what that worksheet... No, this is the leak worksheet.
Okay,
thank you.
So that discounted rate still equals $600-some?
This is for October 2020. This was a
So there's two different sides to that. There's a water side and a sewer side, because they're two completely separate adjustments on the bill, because they're two separate charges. So on the water bill, the extra usage was $24,703, charged at the .006, which would be $149.80, would be the new charge for that. Adding it to the calculation of the average water bill using the 5,087, which I have the other worksheet that's attached, shows that the water is $47.79. Add those two together, and that's what should have been paid if we make the adjustment. He was charged $529. So the difference of that would be $331.57 that he's due back.
On the water, and then
correct.
And then another $302.
And that same math is used, yes, for the sewer. Okay. Yep.
For a total of $634.18.
Between the two.
In Georgia.
Then we're fine.
Okay.
All right, we're good with that? Then this doesn't require a vote because this is the standard process or procedure for
yeah, so
adjustment.
For the sewer.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for clarifying that.
May I update council about one other thing?
Sure.
The Cherokee County floating homestead and the property tax bills for Cherokee County. I'm going to meet with Lourdes on Wednesday at noon. She's still having difficulty understanding the calculation. So I'm going to meet with her on Wednesday at noon to help her understand how the...
Well, she's waiting on someone from Fulton County to call her back, I think.
She hasn't even talked to the right person. The person that she's spoken to hasn't given her the CPI adjustment factors. I gave her the right person, but I will help her understand the calculation.
Well, hopefully you guys can work this out on Wednesday.
But it's important. That's an important issue because bills need to be issued to the Cherokee County homeowner so that they can pay them this tax year.
Right.
So anyway, we'll
look forward to hearing how that goes.
Try to progress on Wednesday. All right. She's waiting for... She's waiting for instruction from council. She's waiting for direction about what to do. And I'm not sure what you all should, I don't have a recommendation on what you
what
should
are we,
tell
what her. What are we waiting on?
Your direction to her was to verify the calculations provided by Mr. Minden, which is what she's been trying to do, but up until this afternoon when she and Mr. Minden spoke, was not able to make contact with anybody in Fulton County who could assist her. She now has that information. They're meeting Wednesday. I would think this will be resolved Wednesday.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I've proposed the calculations for 2021, so once the math is understood, the number should be there.
She's trying to perform what council asked her to do, which was to verify the calculations.
Gotcha. Verify his calculation.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's all she's trying to do.
Waiting for Fulton County to tell her what those calculations are, and Fulton County doesn't have the information for the homes that are
issued. Fulton County didn't get back yet?
They finally did, but according to Mr. Minden, she didn't talk to the right one. So they're going to meet.
They provided the calculation worksheet, but didn't provide the factors, the CPI adjustment factors that have been used the last 3 years.
Well, so, it sounds like we're closing in on the resolution
here. I have those factors because they gave them to me.
All right, very good. Thank you. And last item on the agenda is the golf cart signs. Councilman Dixon, would you like to tell us what your ask is here?
I would like to see four signs, golf cart signs, so it makes it a little safer for our golf cart people to let cars know. And I was talking to a police officer, a friend of mine, and he said, we actually are supposed to have signs. So that the cars know we have golf carts. Peachtree City, all the cities who are
Brookfield.
Famous for that have signs. Brookfield, I don't think has signs.
No, they have them for crossings, yeah.
What do the signs say so that I make sure if it's approved, I get the right thing?
Yeah.
What do the signs say?
Can I interact on this?
Yeah, I'm going to let the city attorney.
So the purpose of the signs is to let folks that are driving into the city know you're in a golf cart zone.
Right.
That's the end piece of a extremely complicated process to get yourself certified as a golf cart city. And you would not believe the amount of legislation that has been devoted to it. And it's going to be very complicated.
All right. Just for clarity purposes, let me ask you this. Hang on. So what you're saying is that we can't put the signs up?
We don't need to do it right away. We need to go through the process of establishing that if we're going to do it. There's a specific
process
ordinance that you have to put in place first to do so.
Do you know that it is really against the law not to have the signs? Have you ever heard that? Do you know that about it?
Well, I'd say what's against the law would be be to use the golf cart on the road if it hasn't been established as a golf cart road.
There you go.
But I thought we addressed this years ago. I thought that we, because Rusi Patel with GMA was working with us on this. Do you remember this, Karen? How quickly we forget. I will have to go back and look because I do recall this. Jerry Wood and I were in the process of trying to establish a way for us to reach Brookfield, and from there, right, talking about through using Lita Thompson for access to a crossover at the Target. And I thought we had put something in there about PBRs or PRBs or something.
It's definitely doable. It's just.
Would it be in the charter?
No, it'd be in the code of ordinances if it had been done already.
It would be in the code of ordinances.
Brandon, can you provide us some kind of guidance on what it is we need to do?
Yeah, I drafted one for another city, not within the last year.
I'd be happy to pursue that if I knew.
To be fair, I remember this conversation last night.
Wait, say that again.
Sorry. To be fair, I remember this conversation last night I was on council. So the conversation was had. Now, whether an ordinance was actually put into place,
I do remember us addressing this. So thank you. I knew it was something that we had explored in the past. We may have touched on it. Okay. Well, we will certainly look forward to getting information from the city attorney. It sounds like council
will carry on with it.
Yes, you'll hand the ball off next year.
Keep it going.
All right. Anyone else? Chair will entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second? Second by Councilman Hendricks. All those in favor? Thank you, folks. Good night. Our parents were here, so we didn't have to.
Well, they're on the internet.